Well, good morning, everyone. This morning, I'd like to report to y'all some of the initial results that we have seen evaluating quinoa as a potential new crop for the Pacific Northwest of the United States. Now, the Pacific Northwest of the United States may be a region that is particularly well-suited towards the production of quinoa. Over the last decade, there's been a lot of interest in expanding quinoa production outside of its traditional range in Western South America. However, a problem in expanding quinoa production is that it is pretty sensitive to heat stress. So generally speaking, temperatures above 32 to 35 degrees Celsius will oftentimes lead to a complete crop failure. So with that in mind, there are many locations within the Pacific Northwest that have a cool maritime or a cool temperate climate that may facilitate quinoa production, particularly when compared to other parts of the United States. However, with that being said, there aren't any published reports evaluating quinoa production for this region. So to begin establishing a baseline, our team at Washington State University has been conducting quinoa variety yield trials over the last several years to begin evaluating how well does quinoa do. And today I want to report to you variety trials that were held here on the Olympic Peninsula in Chimicum, Washington. I'm looking for the, it takes a second to warm up.
It was working.
Okay, well, if it's not working, can I use this, whatever this is, for the moment, or?
Sure.
Okay. Here on the Olympic Peninsula in Chimicum, Washington, and then here in southeastern Washington, in Albion, Washington. These are yield trials that were conducted across 2 years, in 2014, 2015. They consisted of 20 entries, and among these 20 entries were some of the most commonly available quinoa varieties for experimentation in North America. They were replicated 6 times. They were harvested only for grain yield, and I should note that they received no external inputs during the growing season. So how well did these variety trials do? So to begin with, I'd like to point out that across these 4 environments, the 2 years and 2 locations, all 20 entries had a mean yield of 635.8 kilograms per hectare. But this is kind of an average of extremes. If you take a look at the different environments, for example, Albion in 2015, the 20 entries only yielded 119.6 kilograms per hectare. But on the other end of the spectrum, if you look at Chimicum in 2014, they yielded over 1,600 kilograms per hectare. So we saw a tremendous variability in terms of the yields. If you begin looking within the trials themselves, you see the same pattern of a wide variability for yield. So for example, in Albion in 2014, there is an entry that yielded over 1,100 kilograms per hectare, but in that very same trial, there was another entry that barely registers at 41 kilograms per hectare. And this is a pattern that we see maintained across all 4 of these environments. Now, if you reduce the analysis to simply the top 3 entries for each trial, the yield essentially doubles for each location. So, for example, going back to Albion 2014 again, all 20 entries had a mean yield of 350, but the top entries, the top 3, go to 900.7 kilograms per hectare. And this is a pattern that we see maintained across these environments. So how does this compare to what has been published elsewhere? So in terms of published yield reports, for North America, they generally range from 840 kilograms per hectare to 1,400 kilograms per hectare, with yields as high as 2,200 kilograms per hectare occasionally being seen. And this is for the prairie provinces of Canada and for the San Luis Valley of Colorado. In Europe, yields are generally higher, 2,000 to 3,000 kilograms per hectare. And I should note that these reported yields for North America and Europe typically provide fertilizer and oftentimes irrigation for their quinoa trials. In South America, yields are generally lower, from 500 to 1,000 kilograms per hectare. However, in Chile, there are reports under experimental conditions that quinoa yield can go as high as 5,000 to 6,500 kilograms per hectare. So, to summarize, the points I would like to make with this presentation is that the yields that we saw in the Pacific Northwest are comparable to what has been reported elsewhere in North America, if you limit your analysis to the top performing entries. And secondly, there is a tremendous opportunity for quinoa-specific agronomic recommendations. Questions such as planting density, fertilizer requirements, weed control strategies are all questions that are in the process of being answered. And so my hope is that once those recommendations become available, we could improve upon the yields that we see here, not only per se, but also improve the consistency of these yields, so maybe we can ameliorate some of this wide variability we've seen between environments for their production. One thing I didn't mention is that we also have many yield trials that have had complete failure, and that's something that hopefully through agronomy we can begin to correct. So with that, I have a poster, poster 1017, if you'd like to see this data in more detail and see some of the statistics behind it, and I will be there from 4 to 6 p.m. Thank you. I'll start over here on the left, and I don't know.
I'm just curious about your low performers.
Yes.
Were they disease pressure issues, or were they not flowering in time, or what was the issue?
No. So some of these, a lot of this material was selected elsewhere, and so some of them just simply aren't adapted. Part of the problem too is, let me go back up here to this slide. No, we don't know the mechanism specifically. I will say that some of the materials that people are experimenting with for commercial grain production were actually selected for as ornamentals. So there's a real need for variety evaluation to report, say, hey, you know what? Yes, you can get that from a seed company, but it was selected for a different purpose than what you're applying it to. So I had a question over here. So the environments that actually had complete failure, it's interesting, they typically were environments that had heat stress. So in Fahrenheit, they would get above 90 degrees Fahrenheit, and it was uniform, typically. All entries, all varieties, and not only the variety trials, but also our breeding materials, it was fairly consistent.
Mm-hmm. Was one of those sites a Prosser site? Prosser Washington site?
That doesn't ring a bell, but I don't think so. But it's Lewiston, Idaho, Albion, Washington, Pullman, Washington. So essentially everything east of the Cascades at one time or another has failed.
So among your 20 varieties tried, are there any that are like consistently in the upper quartiles?
It's in my poster. There's one variety. It was developed in Denmark. And it is all these high values. They're all the very same variety. It's a variety called Titicaca. And it is also the earliest variety by a long shot. So it's an interesting thing.
One more question.
So again, do you have any insights into appropriate planting time? Where do you see
the windows? So we aim for about soil temperatures about 55 degrees Fahrenheit. Is kind of a minimum. In the reports, you'll see 45 or 50 degrees are possible, but we find we get better stand establishment at 55. So for us in the Pacific Northwest, it depends a lot when the rains stop, the winter rains. So it's mid-April typically is the target. You tend to avoid some of the heat stress by doing that, and then we harvest typically the last week of August or early September. So it's about a 4 to 5 month growing season.